powerful word to instruct us, to teach us, and to reveal to us who you are, to reveal to us that there is an inheritance that you have set up and you have predestinated us to, according to the counsel of your own will. You've done so many things for us, to us, and we want you to continually be able to do things through us to the upholding and the spreading of your kingdom. You've allowed men to take part in your work. You've allowed men to bring other sheep, which you have that are of this fold. You allow us a part to play. You allow us to shine in the light, in the world as lights. You allow us to be salt in the earth. But it's not our position. We're not the salt because we are just the salt. We're not the light just because we are the light. Everything that we have is of you and from you. And all things come from you and go back to you for your glory. Now I ask you, Father, look upon us. Strengthen us where we're weak. Help us to understand we are in kingdom battle. The world battles us in our minds, in our home, and in our bodies. But that's the job that they have to do because they hate you. They want to hold back your kingdom purpose. Father, look upon all of our sicknesses. Mom is in there dizzy, and you have the power to dispatch anyone you want to, or just by your word, to alleviate that. Different ones are sick. Ann has issues with allergies. Gary has issues. All of us have issues. Jane and Rich have things going on in their lives. We ask you, Lord, however you see fit to do it. You have the means. You have the power, and you have the assistance to do anything that you want to do for us. Lord, let us always realize, even if it hurts, that all things must come through your counsel, and all things work together for our good if we love you, if we are called according to your purpose. Help us to see when you open up the realm of the unseen for us, that we'll be appreciative and that we'll gain a greater appreciation for you and our place in the world. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. We've gone over Psalm 82 twice, and I did a brief introduction. But the thing I want to talk about today is, how do I perceive Psalm 82? Not just what some people take, not just what some people think about it, but I'm going to lay it out in a way. I'm going to try to be very dogmatic. And when I say dogmatic, I mean I want to emphasize what is true, what the Bible does say about certain issues. And it may not be that you have the same conclusion that I come up with, but I at least want to say what is and what is laid on the table, the word of God for us. I would ask you if it's fair, but somebody might say no. So I'm just going to say, and it is fair. Our title for today, will God ever judge all persons who pervert their given authority in the world? Especially spirit beings. Especially the spirit beings. We've already talked about in Psalm 82, men in the position of judges. I've also spent time talking about there are different beings, persons, I'm going to call them, that don't have the same body type that we have. They are spiritual, some people call them celestial beings. I'm going to call them spirit beings today so that I don't have to keep defining what I'm talking about. And then there happens to be us. Psalm 82 I want us to think about what Psalm 82 says, and I want us to go into this with the mindset that this is showing us an insight into what God has going on outside of what we call the realm of the seen. Are you going to be able to read for Tim today? You can try. Psalm 82, please read, Andrina.
A Psalm of Asaph. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
I've already told you, and I've set forth today, that I want to show that God is going to judge. The question is, will he ever judge all those persons that pervert their authority? And we're talking about especially the spiritual beings. I want to lay a case out today that spiritual beings have been given authority. We already know that mankind is given authority from Genesis chapter 1, where God gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, etc., and over the earth to rule it. We know this, right? Yeah. Okay. Now, what I want us to also to take into consideration, that God gave parents the authority to rule over the children. Are we correct? We also realize that God has given husbands to follow God, to have authority in the home. Not to overrule the wife like they have nothing, but to have authority in the home so that when something goes wrong, the first person God deals with is going to be the husband. Is that not what God shows in Genesis when Adam and Eve transgressed? Who did he go to first? Adam. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the woman was deceived. But the Bible teaches that man was in the transgression according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and following. Adam sinned, and Adam brought death into the world, not Eve. Authority. Authority we see inside of what God calls the congregation. The first one that we see him set up. I'm not talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I decided to move forth to where God has brought them out of Egypt and showed who he was. God gave authority to Moses because he talked to Moses. He told Moses who he was. He gave Moses his name. He gave Moses the authority to rule over his people. But it was never Moses to rule over God's people according to Moses' will. And because God had given Moses that authority, Moses could have perverted that authority and would have been judged. Then God gave Moses Aaron. And we find somewhere that Miriam is a prophetess. And as we read the Bible, we see that the heads of the tribes of the nation, they were given authority. They would come to Moses. They would get authority. And God set up judges to judge the people. But often we don't think about the celestial. So without going into and rehashing what we said in the first two meetings, I want you to go with me to the book of the Revelation. I'm not going to read everything in the book of the Revelation because we've gone through it. And so I may pick up some that I'll read, but I'm going to give you highlights in chapter one. In chapter one, the one thing that I do want to get, I want to at least have a couple of verses given, is the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave John, or that God gave him, and he sent to his angel and gave it to his servant, John. Am I correct?
Yes.
And he bare record of the word of God. We know the word of God is not just words that are spoken. but he is a person. He is a person. He is a spiritual being that took on human body. Am I correct? Now notice, I would submit to you, the book of the Revelation shows you a scene in heaven. I would suggest to you that you start, when you look at Psalm 82, that you consider the Revelation. You have the Revelation and you have John seeing the Lord Jesus Christ come, and he's in the midst of the candlesticks. He's in the midst of what the King James Version called the candlesticks. Different versions call it a lampstand. In his hand, he holds seven stars. Am I correct? Yes. The seven stars are of the churches. The stars have authority in those churches, and those seven churches are the one that he has promised. In the second chapter, if they overcame, they would rule. I believe it was the church of Thyatira that if they overcame, they would rule. They would rule with rods of iron, and they would be able to sit with him on his throne. Am I right about it? Therefore, we're seeing into a spiritual dimension, and we're seeing that on earth, those beings that are called the church, those persons that are called angels, there is a spiritual element that's even given to them. And he stands in the midst of that. And in the midst of that, he walks among the candlesticks. And if you read chapter 2 and 3, you see it's not an equal position. He's in charge. As a matter of fact, that 14, I want you to notice verse 7. Notice what he says here. You want to read 6 and 7 for me, precious?
In Revelation 1?
1 and 6 and 7. Notice what it says. Well, I'll give you 5 because I know it by heart. It says that from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. What that means is, in the spiritual dimension, Satan is the Lord of death. He is the father of death. He is a murderer from the beginning. And those people that were bound in death, Jesus says, I have been begotten of the dead. That lets you know he has authority over that. Now, Romans chapter 14, I believe it is, will tell you that around the 9th verse, he both lived and died and rose, so he'd be Lord over the dead and the living. Am I correct?
Yes.
Now, notice this. It says he washed us from our sins in his blood. If you want to write something down, you can write down Mark 2 and 7. In Mark 2 and 7, a statement was made, and that statement that was made, who is he that can forgive sins but God alone? Huh? Who is he that can forgive sins but God alone? I want you to start tasting what's being said here. And then it says he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be what? Glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So whoever this is, and he's been identified as a Jesus, and he's going to walk in the midst of the candlestick, I want you to see that John was carried in the spirit to see these things and how God is going to judge those who have been given authority. On earth, what was given authority is man. I would say in the heavenly realm, God gave it to his other sons of God, but I'm going to show you that there's a combining of the two in just a moment where we see those on earth given authority and the celestial or the spiritual being given authority. I've already set it up by letting you know who he is. But read verse 7, precious love. What does it say?
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen.
Don't think about him coming back the second time in the clouds that you see in the book of Acts when you see that. This is talking about him having dominion. This is talking about him having authority. This is talking about every eye see him. That's looking at Daniel 7:13, where the Son of Man is being brought by an assembly of people and, well, persons, and those persons bring him to the Most High, and he's given that same thing, authority, kingdom, power, rule over all the nations. Am I telling the truth about it? I am. And notice what he says in verse 8 that is so magnificent about it. What does it say in verse 8? If I'm going too fast, you have to raise your hand. I got a lot that I want to cover. I want to kind of say it a little quicker, but I want to be clear with what I'm saying. Verse 8, please, precious.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty.
I want you to take that and I want you to smell it, taste it, touch it with the mind of your hand. I want you to understand when he says, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am the Alpha and the Omega, due to the fact that angels, what we call angels and other sons of God are created beings, we've talked about it, he is already saying, I'm above all of them. They are not first. They are not last. They are unnecessary beings. You, every one of us in here, is an unnecessary being. What do I mean unnecessary? Because if you start arguing in your mind and say, I am necessary because God brought me here. I mean necessary in the strict sense that if we don't exist, the world won't exist. Can you think of anyone that you've ever seen or heard of, or any angel, if it didn't exist, the world wouldn't exist? But when you think about God, if he doesn't exist, there is no world. God is truly a necessary or the necessary being. Are you with me? So then he goes on down and says he is the Almighty. And then he goes again and says he's Alpha and Omega. Read verse 11 from his precious love.
Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
Then it gives his description, and the description shows him with his eyes flame of fire, etc. It lets you know that he is coming to do judgment in this assembly. Do you all agree that this is an assembly that we see here? Do you agree that this is an assembly of the angels or the ones that were going to be in charge and the churches? Are you with me? I don't want to lose you here, because if I lose you here, I'll lose you so a long way away from here too. Look at verse number 18, precious. Read that for me, please.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
I need you to understand, he is moving. He's moving very, very assiduously. Or let me say it this way. He's moving very profoundly through the realm of the human that share in the celestial realm. We share in the celestial realm, you all. Our citizenship is supposed to be in heaven, but he also moves in the celestial realm of the unseen. How do you know that? He says, notice this. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. He shouldn't be living if he was dead unless he conquered death. And if you conquer death, you have defeated Satan. You have defeated the Satan, the dragon, and the devil. I rule. If I rule him, ruling you is not that big a deal. Okay, and then he says, I got the keys of death. I got the keys of hell and death. Who do you think was over death? According to Hebrews, it said we feared death all that time. I believe that's Hebrews that said it. I know it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so the sting of death is gone. He's conquered death. That's the works of the devil. That's why he was manifested in John, 1 John 3 and 8. And so read verse 20, and I think that'll be enough.
The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches.
Do you see the celestial imagery? Candlesticks represents the lights in the heaven. Stars represent the lights in the heavens. But notice they are applied to people. The angel or the messenger of the seven churches and the seven churches. But if you don't understand that's who we are in God, then you may not understand who he is with the Father. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I may have it read in a little while, but in chapter 2 and 3, he goes through and gives the messages to those churches. He judges in them. Some churches, Jezebelism, Balaamites, lost their first love. He finds certain churches that have done things, and he judges in the midst of them. Then there's some that's doing right. But to every one of them, they are told to overcome. And if they overcome, they get to have the Edenic light state. When I say Edenic, that means like the Garden of Eden. They get to have a tree of life. They get to have where the fruits are. They get to have dominion, what God had designed for man to have in the beginning. And I will go ahead and say ahead of time, and they will also be in the midst of the other celestial beings, joying and beholding the order of God. You will see that unfold in chapter 4. The buttress, what I'm saying, if I get in to go to chapter 4, verse 1, and then we'll move to chapter 5. But in chapter 4, if she reads verse 4, I'm on first verse, I'm going to tell you what's being seen in there. Read the first verse of that, please.
After this, I looked.
After he had judged among the elders that were in authority, or the angels, after he had judged among his church that was supposed to be a kingdom of priests unto God and to Christ, after he had judged and gave his pronouncement as he stood in the midst of them, what does it say? John said, after this, what happened?
I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet.
All I want, that's good enough for me, precious. After this, he saw a door open in heaven. Go ahead and go to chapter 5. A door open in heaven. He heard a voice like a trumpet. He saw 24 elders around the throne. He saw the throne wrapped around with like a rainbow. He saw light proceeding from that particular area. Then he saw 4 beasts that was also a 4 living creatures. And I would submit to you that this is what John saw. So he saw an opening in heaven. Am I correct? So now John is seeing something, and if you don't see the mirror of this in Psalm 82, it might be because you've never thought about yourself as being participants of the kingdom of God more so than just on earth. Why do you think we can pray to God? I don't want to go off onto that right now. 5 and 1, precious Lord, help me.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat.
So we know chapter 4 that he was in heaven. I've already told you that there was a throne. And so John is continuing what he was saying, but it's called chapter 5 again. I interrupted. Okay. You start again.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book?"
Now John is seeing inside of heaven. He's seeing what a throne is. He's seen 24 elders. He's seen 4 beasts. Now he sees, it didn't identify to say this is another, what we would call an angel, but we can tell here is another angel that's around and serving God. Isn't this pretty? Read some more, precious.
And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look.
So this divine assembly here, or this divine meeting here that John is seeing, heaven and earth and under the earth was searched according to the way this is written. Now that they have to go through a search, the imagery is to let you know that Jesus the Christ is over all of God's personages. Those that are dead and now they're not inside of their bodies anymore, that are still alive, those that we call angels, and those that are human. And none of them were worthy to approach his throne. Huh? Read some more of this. This is getting so good, I'm starting to get happy.
And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon.
5.
And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
Go down to 8. So what happened is, he wept, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which is the spirit man Jesus, the spirit who became man, who is still spirit, the God man Jesus. He was the Lamb of God. He took away the sins of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah because he rules. He has a scepter. He is the lawgiver that came from Judah, and he is the only one in this assembly. The only one in this assembly. Notice everyone, when she starts reading, have to bow down to him when he's in the midst of the assembly. Read some, precious. 8.
And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
Out of all of the sons of God that has ever been, whether it's Adam, Noah, Moses, what you call the minor prophets, what you call the major prophets, what you might call the kings of Judah. We don't even want to mention the kings of Israel. Out of all of the apostles, not even Judas and Maccabeus, not Gabriel, not Uriel, not Michael, none of them, listen, none of them were able to take the scroll and to open the seal. I submit to you that when this one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is in the midst, he can say whatever he wants to say in the midst, and it holds full authority with God, because they were able to bow down to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and it was not offensive to God, because he is God with God the Father. Next verse, precious love.
For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
11. We need it.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000.
Are you seeing now that this is a divine assembly? Or at least are you seeing that the windows of heaven is open and there's a multiplicity, and there are thousands upon thousands and upon thousands, and all of them know that they are not the one to rule. They are not the one to reign, not on their own. Next verse, bring it out.
Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.
I hope that this at least gave you at least some kind of view that when we talk about the divine, God's divine holy council and those that are given authority, that the authority proceeds from him. They just said all of that belongs to him. Every single drop. And he covered all aspects of the world. It says in verse 13, every creature in heaven, what we call the spirit beings or the celestial, on earth, the human, even the ungodly, and under the earth, those that we consider to have already been departed, okay? And them I heard saying, and they gave the blessing, the honor, and the power, and the glory to him. Now let's go back to our text and read it again. We just set in the preliminary to get this thing started. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the Elohim. He judges amongst the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the land, out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Do you see a parallel here with Revelation that we just read? Because if you don't see it, I'll explain it. If you tell me you see it, I won't go through again and repeat the same thing. Is there anyone here that does not see the parallel that what we've covered in Revelation 1 through 5? Raise your hand if you don't see it. I'll make it. God stands in the congregation of the mighty, the Elohim, the celestial beings. John saw Jesus standing in the midst of the candlesticks with the seven stars in his hand. We also see him standing or in the midst of where the throne is. He's got the book open. No one else is worthy. All glory and honor and majesty and power goes to him. So obviously he's in the position of ruling, and yet these are other ruling beings, the 420 elders, the four beasts, the church, and the elders of the church. Oh, the Bible shows this in more than one place. How long will you judge unjustly? Isn't that the problem in Revelation chapter 2 and 3? You still let people do Jezebel-like worship and worship idols. You got people that's acting like they're in charge. You got the problem with the Nicolaitans. You got the problem with the Balaamites. You got problems all over the place in chapter 2 and 3. How long, church, will you judge unjust? How long, angels, are you going to let this go on? I'll remove you from being a candlestick. Further on in this is that you will die like men. I said, but somebody say that. I thought you were going to talk about the angels or the other sons. I said, in the book of the Revelation, we're going to explain it like it is, and you'll get it as we move along. What was their job? They accept the person of Jezebel. Didn't they do it in their assembly? Yes, they did. Defend the poor and the fatherless. You don't even show your first love anymore. When you don't show your first love, rest fully assured, the rest of this will be covered without me belaboring the point. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Didn't he tell them every time to overcome? Yes, he did. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Kick her out of the assembly. You've already tried those that say they're apostles and found that they will not do more of that. But, Tim, are you saying that this is the celestial being? I'm showing you that we as the church, we obtain a celestial place. And our job is to do. And I would say that I want you to see this passage when you look at it as like a window opening into heaven. Because once God let me dwell and park on this, I start seeing. And that's like I told you when I first started, you may not agree with my conclusion, but I'm dogmatic that this is true. I'm dogmatic that Jesus stood inside the candlestick. I'm dogmatic that he had the seven angels there or in his hand. I'm dogmatic that he went inside the assembly and that he spoke and that he ruled and that he was in charge. And everything that we see here will be applicable. Read on, Tim. It say they knew. Check this out. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk in darkness. Isn't that the problem? You think one of the church, they thought they were rich, and they were not. He said, you better buy you some clothes of me. You got one that say, but you're blind and wretched and naked, didn't he say it? You got eyesight, you better buy you some eyesight. Every single one of them claimed to be right. And only two of them were. The other ones did not know how bad off they were. And it says, I have said, ye are gods, all of you children of the Most High. Mm-hmm. Well, rest fully assured, all of us are children of the Most High. We love God because we've been adopted and we've been brought into the family of God according to Romans chapter 8. And James 1 and 18 says, it's of his own will, James 1, 18, he begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a type of first fruits of his creation. So, when it says ye are gods, Somebody might come out and say, well, how are you going to say that we are part of the celestial family? Well, when you read 2 Peter chapter 2, you'll see that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and the godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And I believe up above that it might be 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 or verse 3. And offended from it because you, my friend, it says we have partaken of the divine nature. He's given all of this to partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Which verse is that, precious? Verse 4. I was in the neighborhood. Read it. Read it so it won't be my quote. It'll be the word of God.
2 Peter 1 and 4.
Read it.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 3 says, now. Or it says, behold, now are we the what, Gary? Sons of God. We're sons of God now. If that's the case for us, is it the case for those seven churches? This is why I say I see similarities. Not that they are Elohim, but they have partaken of the divine nature. I'm going to bring this down to where it is the Elohim. And your children of the Most High, we are. But you shall die like men and fall like the princes. That's the way that people were described to being slain. And it says, arise, O God, judge the earth. Well, we realize that when Jesus was given that in the book of Daniel, that was his job. And it says he will inherit all nations. That was my introduction into what I want to talk about today. Okay. Did you enjoy it or did I only enjoy it? You know, because
you know, I didn't think about it like that. Nice. Yeah, that was,
you painted a picture.
You did.
Thank you,
Mr. Kincaid.
Have you? Oh, yeah. And I needed to add this last little taste to that. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 20 and 21. We see God judges the Satan, the dragon, the devil, and he is cast into the lake of fire. Okay, I just need you to know that. And there is a place where you see that the bottomless pit was open, and even those are dealt with. I just want you to see that there is a parallel there. And looking at this where it says in Psalm 82, let me look at my time because I don't want to make a career out of this, and I did want to finish it today. So we're gonna walk through this. It says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. And I'm now talking more about the Elohim. We feel that there is only one God. Am I correct? So if you all do some writing, I'm gonna give you something. The Bible says in Exodus 15 and 11, who is alike unto thee, Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Understand when he says, who is like you among the gods, is allowing you to see that God is God, but he's asking a question. He's not saying who is like you among the nothings. He said among the God. Isaiah 44 and 8.
Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. So there is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any.
If we take God to be God, is going to have what we call a contradiction. But if we take God, who is over all, heaven, earth, and under the earth, only one that can have a book, only one that can open the book and look thereupon, then we see any other celestial spirit being as being beneath. And obviously that Elohim is a spirit being, but he is not the God, but they can be called gods. But when it comes down to God in the sense that you rule over all, there is one. But there's authority given. And I'm saying, God will judge. The question is, will God judge those that are given authority? Obviously, I've shown he's going to judge the churches if they don't straighten up. We saw him judge Israel, but what about those celestial beings? That's why that statement was made in 1 Corinthians chapter 8.
As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered and sacrificed unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world.
That's 8 and 4 for those of you all that didn't write it down. Read the rest of the question.
And that there is none other God but one.
The idol, the statue, or whatever they make is nothing. Whether it's an obelisk or whatever. I'm not going to name all the idols. They make it take up time. Read some more.
For though there be that are called gods.
They are called gods. God even calls them gods. The prophets even call them gods. Yes, they did. The kings called them gods, and the other nations called them gods. Okay? Not just so-called. They are gods. Notice what it says. Though there be that are called gods, read on.
Whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. But to us.
Let's get it right, church. Read.
There is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him.
Are we getting there? Now, I'm going to just give you this, and if you'll do 1 Samuel 15 and 29, I don't remember that one by heart, but Numbers 23 and 19 show that when we start talking about these gods, or we talking about this one God in particular, he's not a man.
23 and 19.
God took on the form of humanity. And this is when Balaam, we were dealing with Balaam, and he said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither a son of man that he should repent. But in 1 Samuel 15 and 19, or 29, he also repeats the same kind of thing in a different way. Well, Saul had messed up. What does it say?
And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent.
I'm going to just go down to my last one on that, because in our discussion we can talk about God. But in Philippians chapter 2, we see he took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. We're talking about the Spirit Son. Jesus, who was above all, took on humanity, and he became obedient unto death. And we know that by him humbling himself and doing those things, God set him up to be in charge. And we see the thing that's taking place in Revelation, that under him every knee bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and under the earth. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Great. So it says, God, he standeth. The one that is God alone standeth in the congregation of the mighty. I did not go through and read you everything where God had declared that his son would take on humanity. I went to the conclusion of the matter that he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and God set him over everything. I've already shown you in Revelation that he stands in the midst of the assembly, the churches, the angels, and then heaven, earth, and under the earth, that they still are under him. Now I want to talk about the congregation of the mighty. I want to show you a picture where God has shown that he stands in or amongst the council of angelic or spiritual beings. Look at Genesis chapter 28 and 12. Notice what Jacob sees whenever he's out there running away from Esau. What did it say, precious love?
And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it.
Going up and down on this ladder. Read some more.
And behold, the Lord stood above it.
The Lord did what?
Stood above
He stood in the assembly of those. It doesn't have to be that they're sitting down. The only thing he saw on the ladder was angels going up and down, and the Lord stood on it. And I will tell you that in John chapter 2, Nathanael had been reading, and when Nathanael came to Jesus, he said, behold, Israelite indeed, there's who is no guile. And he's like, when you saw me, when you saw, when you, well, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Or not fig tree, but when you were under the tree. It said, and hereafter you'll see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man, the one that rules. Obviously, he must have been letting him know, I'm the one that rules the assembly, and you were probably reading about that, but I want you to see the foretaste of what your father Israel or Jacob saw. So when he stands in the council of the mighty, I'm telling you dogmatically, we know that he has, Jesus the Christ has done this before, stood in the congregation of the mighty. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 9 and 10, I'm not even going to read that. We ought to be familiar that when God showed himself to the people, Nadab, Abihu, and Moses, and the 70 elders, they went up and they saw him standing on top of the thing. What was it called? The firmament.
Work of a sapphire stone, as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness.
Now I want you to understand that there's an assembly that Satan wants to mimic. And Isaiah chapter 14, if you look at Isaiah chapter 14, you'll see that man, you'll see the king of Babylon, you'll see him. And we use that and we show that behind that is the being that we call the Satan. Read it, Andrina, you're probably already there.
Verse 13?
Yes, ma'am.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north.
To tell you all what's going on here, we've gone through the book of Isaiah. People use this to say, this is where you get Satan. His name is Lucifer. And I tell people that this is talking about a real man. Now, when you go behind it, you see what's going on here. This man wants to exalt himself to a position where he thinks he's like a god. It's mirroring something that took place in the celestial realm. But notice what he wants to do. He wants to be in charge of the divine assembly. He wants to be above the stars of God. What stars of God, Tim? The same one we read about in Job 38, verse 7, when God created and laid the pillars of the earth, and the stars of God, the sons of God shouted, something like that. Was it the sons of God saw it, and the stars, they sang? I would read it. I don't want to. He asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And the sons of God sang, and the sons of God, I believe, the stars of God shouted for joy. The stars of God. We saw the stars of God also being in charge in the human realm, didn't we? What was in his hand? How many stars?
Seven.
And so we see that takes place. I'm not going to read in Ezekiel chapter 28, where we see the same kind of thing, where this one being, this was the king of Tyre. Then he starts talking about an anointed cherub. And what does he want to do? He want to be preeminent in an assembly of beings. So when they say God stands in the midst of the mighty, I want you to understand that is a midst of mighty angelic or supernatural beings, and they want to imitate God. And I believe in all my soul that if you want to imitate something, you imitate what is. Okay? I didn't say originate. I know it ends with A-T-E, but I said, you want to imitate, not originate. Now listen to song. I'll let her read Psalm 89, 6, and 7 if she'll read that, because I want you to know that there is an assembly in the heavens. What does it say?
For who in the heavens?
For who is in where?
In the heavens.
Not in the earth.
In the heavens can be compared unto Yahweh. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto Yahweh? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
Where is God's resident saint? Jesus told them, when you pray, you say, our Father, where?
Amen.
All right, now who is going to be about him? It's going to be those that's in that realm. It's already told you that. I want you to understand why I'm saying, I believe that this is talking about the assembly of God in heaven. Will it be applicable to those on earth? in many places? Will it be as applicable to us in many places? But let's not wipe out what God has shown us. He's pulled back. He's showing us stuff so that we can see who we are, so that we can see who he is, so that we can understand that there's a place where we're going to reign and rule. And if I were to go to Revelation 6, you'll get to see that we get a chance to be with him and with the angels and worship and serve. It's not just about living on this earth and then we die like a dog. No, we rise like a king. We rise like a son of God. Bless his everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. So it says God stands in the congregation of the mighty and he judges among the gods. He judges. I've already shown you he judged in the book of the Revelation. We've already seen him judge because we go through what is called the Old Testament. But what authority does he have to judge? Colossians 1 and 16. For the Bible will let us begin to see by a man that told people not to worship angels. His name was Paul. What does it say, Andrina?
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible and invisible.
Come on now with the spiritual hierarchy.
Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Now you're going to tell me that there's no way that this would apply to the assembly of spirit beings? He made them and gave them their hierarchy of the ability to rule. When I say hierarchy, Josiah, I mean like you have such a thing called an angel, then you have an archangel. He's over him. If you can see that there's a difference between those two, I don't have to keep explaining, okay? Now, notice something. He gives us in this third verse, well, let me finish this second verse. How long will you judge unjustly? He's already judging among the gods because he's in charge. But his angels, he gave them jobs to do. And what's that job? It says in Psalm 104, he makes his angels spirits. He makes his ministers flames of fire. This is why I can say they're spirit beings. According to John 4 and 24, God is what?
Spirit.
And they that worship him must worship how?
Spirit.
Now, notice in the book of the Revelation, chapter 16, verse 14, some of those that have to worship him. And if you're there, you can read it.
For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
We see the spirits of beings that are called devils or demons, they're going to teach the people to rebel against God. We see that in the scriptures. Why is it that when we see it in the scriptures, we forget? But the Bible says one other thing about those people that I consider the spirit beings that I believe that it's talking about here in Psalm 82. If Ann has James 2 and 19, James 2 and 18, they know explicitly who's in charge over them. What does it say? Thou believe that there is one God? You do well. What else?
The devils also believe and tremble.
So how can he judge? Even if you don't believe that God judges in the judgment of celestial or spirit beings, those that have been given authority and perverted that go to the kings of the earth and had them to go to battle against the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said they tremble. Why would you tremble if there's no judgment? I know, and I didn't write it down, but there is a place in the Bible where the demons asked the Lord Jesus, did you come to torment us before what? The time. He judges. He ain't stupid. But he asked this question. How long will you judge unjustly? I would submit to you that the judgment that they do is the problem with evil in the world, how they pervert evil. And I would say that Paul alludes to this So much so in the book of the Ephesians that a lot of us know about the principalities and powers, where he said we don't wrestle against those in the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. But do you ever think about chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 in Ephesians? If you don't, let Ann read it to you and think about it while she read it.
And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world.
Hold that for a second. What is the course of this world? Without going deep into it, Jesus said, out of the heart proceed the issues of life. If you don't know where it is, it's Matthew chapter 15. Your adulteries, your fornication, your murders, etc. If you don't like that, let's go to his final judgment on it. Revelation 21 and 8. The fearful, the unbelieving, the murderers, the abominable, the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars. That's the course of this world. Okay? Now read it again, Andrina.
Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Did you read that?
Can you repeat that picture again?
Ephesians 2. 1 and 2.
It says you walk after the course of this world, but then he limits it down to a spirit being. It says the prince
of
the power
of the air.
Are you seeing it? These are the ones that's doing unjustly. They are judging unjustly. The job was to defend the poor and to defend the fatherless. They don't do that. But the Lord God said about his son that will take over this world, he will judge, he will judge. And we quoted that when we were in the book of the Revelation, when he says in chapter 3 that he would have a kingdom, he would rule with a rod of iron, and that we would judge with him. Do you all remember me saying that? If you don't, take it like I'm saying it the first time, although I'm not. Now, in Psalms 2, 7 and 8, what does it say about the Lord Jesus, the one who stands in the midst?
I will declare the decree. Yahweh hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance.
Notice this. Somebody's already controlling the heathen. Notice this. That Yahweh is saying to Yahweh the Son, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. And notice this, that in Revelation chapter 2, as well as chapter 3, he's going to rule with the rod of iron. He's going to execute judgment on those that pervert and they bring about wickedness in the land. He is going to clean up the land. He's going to clean up the heaven. That's what he's going to do when he rules. And guess what? Our job is to enter into the realm, enter into the realm of the work of the Spirit. And we're supposed to be rid of the land of darkness. We're supposed to be rid of the world of unsavoriness and not being preserved by being the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be like the guiding light, the stars of heaven. James chapter 1, verse 17, it says we're supposed to be lights. It said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. It's already settled, but it settles it for me. So he says, do justice. Now, when he said do justice to the afflicted and needy, I want you to understand this. The one way that the angels that I could think of without going into great deliberation is that they pointed the way that the Messiah was here. They came in Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14, and they praised God and they gave the declaration of the good news. The good news of what? The good news that the star that it came from Judah and the star that it talked about in the book of Numbers. It gave the news that he was here, that the Messiah was here. That was the good news. They proclaimed glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. But you hear people say that that's the, what you call it, the Christmas story. Yeah. Tell that lie to me. What the Christmas? You're talking about that the ruler is here.
The one that has stood in the midst already is going to stand in the midst of us on earth. Then he's going to die. Then he's going to rise and stand in the midst of all the assembly, heaven, earth, and under the earth. And he is going to judge because he is the judge of all the earth. He's going to do what that last verse in Psalm 82, arise, arise and judge, because God has given him all the nations. Are you all enjoying this? Is it just me? Did I raise my voice too high? I can't keep it low right now because I like it. I love it. I want more of it. The other place I think about where the angels assist or watch it assist is in Daniel chapter 10. I had noted the 20th verse in Daniel chapter 10 where he says, you know what I come unto, why I come unto you, or wherefore I come unto you. Now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, the prince of Grecia shall come. He came to assist Daniel. Without going all into it, Daniel was needing some help. Notice, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. I want you to notice something in the Bible. When God separated the nations, and he did it according to the sons of God, he did not make it where they would not be able to know him. For the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night gives forth knowledge. There is no speech. There is no language in which it cannot be heard. Their line have gone throughout to the end of the earth. His lines have gone out. And the Bible teaches explicitly that God has said, Abraham, through you, all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. Something happened, and these spirit beings, they corrupted, they perverted their authority. And by them perverting their authority, God had to reverse that. And he does that through judgment, and some of the judgment comes through us, but ultimately it comes through the Son. Walk with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 14, verse 16. And I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul says about the other nations that I've told you all before, I believe, are under the gods. Acts chapter 14, verse 16. Read, Andrina.
Who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own way.
God allowed that. Read some more.
Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness.
The argument was, or the argument is, that even if you don't know everything about God, he makes it known that he's there. He makes it there that he cares. He makes it there that there's an order. And he also makes other things available for people to know. According to Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says that the individuals know, but they hold down and suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And when they do that, they exchange the glory of God, and then they start making idols. Listen to what the Bible says about the nations in Acts chapter 17, verse 26.
And has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation.
God set boundaries for the earth. We talk about Deuteronomy 32 and 8 a lot of time, and we will continue to talk about it. So he said he sets bounds for them. Does that not coincide? Yes, it does. Glad you said it. But what does the next part of the verse say?
That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might find.
He set boundaries that they would seek the Lord. Not that they would be destroyed. But he set boundaries. I told you to scatter. I know I told you to scatter. When Noah got off the ark, I said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. You can eat the clean. You can eat the unclean. But if a man kill a man, put him to death. If an animal kill a man, put him to death. Do what I say. Rule this world. Do like I say. I put my covenant in the cloud. Fill the earth. That was chapter 8. By the time we get to chapter 11, you say, we ain't going to fill the earth. So God scatters them, sets their bounds,
but they still were to seek the Lord. That's what the scriptures say, whether I like it or not. Now, we see, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. How do you get to the hand of the wicked? Well, the Bible said they know not, neither do they understand. Who, if I'm going to talk about a spirit being, they don't know, they don't understand? Well, I've already showed you that the course of this world is by the prince and power of the air. And take me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It's a beautiful thing. Ephesians 3, verse 10. I want you to see why I believe that the spirit beings did not know or understand all that they needed to know, and they had to be judged. God had to deal in the council because of the fact they don't know, they don't understand what God is doing. All they were supposed to do is assist and administer righteousness. What does it say, Ephesians 3, 10, Andrina?
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
I'm going to go backwards a couple of verses because I should have took you there. Take me to verse number, give me 7, what Paul said he was made a minister.
Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?
I wanted the Gentiles to learn. Israel didn't teach them. The other demons or the other beings didn't teach them. They didn't know. So now I got to make the world know who my son is, who Abraham was, and the blessing that will be upon all families, okay? So Paul said, I'm doing it. Next verse.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God.
It was hid. It was hidden. They didn't know. Man didn't know. Eyes haven't seen. Ears didn't hear. They didn't know what God was doing. And Paul is telling it. Read some more.
Who created all things by Jesus Christ.
To the intent.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
Next verse.
According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Do you see? They were ignorant. They don't know. They don't know. The Bible says that the principalities don't know. The powers didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't know. Look at 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 7. They didn't know.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew.
Oh!
For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Now let's go back and listen to what it says here. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked, verse 4 of Psalm 82. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk in darkness. They didn't know. God didn't reveal it to them. If he had revealed it to them, they wouldn't have killed the Lord. They wouldn't have done it, Rich. They might have locked him up, but they wouldn't have killed him. And Paul said they wouldn't have done it. And so therefore, when it says all the foundations of the earth are out of course, if you notice something, they didn't know. And so when Paul tells the people, you don't need to be afraid of them. They can't do anything. Yes, they are wicked. They're outside of the realm of God. But Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, listen to the powers, angels, principalities, powers, things present, nor things that come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, or that's a created thing, whether seraphim, cherubim, watchers, or whatever, dog, cat, rooster, copperhead, no other creature, man, transsexual, cisgender, no AI, no other creature to separate us from the love of God. When you hold on to God, they might kill you, but they can't separate you from the love of God. You have to turn yourself against God's powerful word. So it says, all of the foundations of the earth are out of course. Let me look at my time, see how long I've been talking. It's been 1 hour, 9 minutes. You all want me to take 15 minutes or want me to finish it Thursday? Choose, guess, give me a, who want me to finish it? Let me see your hand.
I don't want you to rush it.
I ain't rushing.
I feel like you're rushing.
I won't rush it, but let's deal with the foundation of the earth then. Okay. I want you to look at the foundations of the earth. When they say all of the foundations of the earth are out of course, what are you talking about, the foundations? Do you all remember back when we were in Psalms? In Psalms 11 and 3, he talked about that. It was a beautiful scripture, and I loved it. And the reason for that is because we might think of foundations as a house, but we're talking about something else. We're talking about how things are set up. Listen to what the Bible says. He says here in Psalm 11 and 1, he says, in thee, O Yahweh, do I put my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked have bent their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Do you see the picture? We want to destroy righteousness. We want to destroy the innocent. We want to plunder. And so he says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Or what can the righteous do? Verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the sons or the children of men. What do we see taking place in Psalms 82? We see the wicked, I believe Elohim, doing wrong, and they trying to destroy the foundations. They have succeeded so much, but will the Lord judge? Will he judge persons that pervert authority? The Psalm 11 say God's looking, God's watching. Psalm 82 say he's in the midst. So how does Stephen talk about this kind of stuff when he says that God is going to deal with the people that don't know, or deal with the beings that don't know, those that are under oppression of what we call demons, principalities, powers, etc.? What does Stephen say when he's telling them what God has done for them as Israel? This is that Moses.
Acts 7:35.
Please forgive
him. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear.
This is the point. God is going to deal with that. He's going to judge. He's going to send someone again in the midst of you, just like he had done in the heavens. But he sent Jesus, the one that Moses said would be sent. But Moses didn't get it of his own. He's going to send someone for you to hear, for you to learn, not to be in darkness, that the foundations of the earth don't be destroyed. But Stephen is going to go on and show why you all are in the shape that you are in. Read, precious.
This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles.
The lively oracles that were given by the angel, that were mediated by the angels. We talked about Thursday, Galatians 3 and 19. Read some more.
To give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands.
Listen to verse 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. Read it, Ann. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have you offered me slain beasts as sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness?
Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Rephaim, figures which you made and worshiped them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. What did they do? The whole course is out because of those beings. I'm going to send someone. And Stephen said, this is where your problem is. You did just like they did. God gave them boundaries. God gave them boundaries, but you were, it's his inheritance. He himself was going to take you and nurture you like a father, and like a father pities his children. He's going to take you like an eagle and have you under his wing. He was going to take you like a shepherd. But what did you do, you foolish, stupid, ungodly people? Instead of you being the pillars of the earth, you wanted to go and you follow those beings that had moved and messed up the foundation of the earth. Notice verse 42. Then God turned when you did that and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. Don't think of the stars, moon, and skies, please. Think about those beings. That's what the Bible says. What does Acts chapter 17, 26 say when Paul is telling these people when they got all these gods that they're worshiping? Yes, the gods that they worship. Paul says something about the true God of heaven and about straightening up this foundation that's been messed up. What does he say?
God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us.
That's an amazing thing, because you know there were heathen nations. You know there were nations that have followed what we call in Deuteronomy 32:17, devils. Shedim, they take that word because it's a word from another language, which were guardians over geographical areas. It's used twice in the Bible, the Shedim. But the real issue here is that although that had taken place, it shows here that God's desire was for them to reach out to him. And it said he wasn't far from them. And the way that we know he wasn't far from them, although they weren't his inheritance, he'd go judge them. You still belong to me, but you're not my inheritance. I want to make you my inheritance. And he always told them, treat the stranger a certain way. He told them, you do right so they can learn. Foundation of the earth out of course. And if you look in Galatians chapter 3, 7 through 9, I don't think I'm going to read it, but I just tell you now, I'll let Ann read it, because I could quote it, but it'll keep it more concentric. It'll keep it more concise if she read it. What is Galatians 3 and 7? The same Paul that's talking to these people, they're saying God wanted them to reach out and feel. What does he say?
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Don't just think that took place when Jesus came. They are God-fearers. There are people that you keep seeing. Just look at Ruth, that would come in and share the blessing of Abraham. I submit to you that everything that I've covered heretofore is parallel in so many ways to the revelation. This is a world where God has a spiritual hierarchy. There is no point in there being a ruler or a prince of the world or princes of different nations. We know that there was a prince of Persia. We know that Michael was the prince of Egypt. not Egypt, but Israel. We know that there was a prince of Grecia, because we read that in the book of Daniel. Therefore, we do know principalities rule geographical areas. We see that God judges them, because no matter where you look in the Bible, God is ruling. If you don't see it in this passage, where are you going to see God judging them? I mean, we can find it. I gave you a taste in Revelation. But here, they were given authority. They perverted it. And as we move on down, when we finish, it's not that much to go, but you all said you'd rather me keep it slow, keep it simple, and I will. So we got to the place where they don't understand. Why they don't understand? Because of the fact there are some things God had hidden. They don't understand because sometimes beings get to thinking they're more than they are. Then we'll go down and we'll talk about Yah God, the Elohim. We're going to talk about them being sons of the Most High, how they will die like men and fall like one of the princes. And then we'll see Jesus arise and judge the earth and inherit all nations. Some of those things we've already talked about him inheriting all nations. But if you don't look at Hebrews chapter 1, when you get to that, you miss a great portion of what's going on here. And if you want to talk about, before we finish on Thursday, that you will die like men, go and read Isaiah 14 and watch what happens to the king of Babylon. And if you can see behind it what's going on, you get a picture. God will judge. It's not just will God judge those persons in authority that perverted. He will. Especially the spirit beings. Why is that? Because to whom much is given, much is required. And if you say, Tim, that only applies to the people that Jesus gave his word, then I would submit to you, do you think he didn't give his word to those spirit beings? Number two, how do you qualify just to be applying to them? What he has given is an axiomatic truth. To whom much is given, much is required. They were given much. Much is required. So with that, I'm going to say, in our role of authority, as parents, as employers, or being employees, as people that are over people, don't pervert God's judgment. When you pervert his judgment, you are messing up the foundations that God has set for judgment. You're acting just like the demons of the demon world. You're acting just like Israel did. And God will judge. He will arise and judge. He will set everything in order. And you will be replaced. I believe that I will show you on Thursday that the demons or the angels that were supposed to have obeyed and ruled nations are going to be replaced. Actually, you got a taste of it in Revelation 3, 2 and 3, but I'm not going to say it again. Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for allowing us to see that you rule. You rule. You reign. And we are more than what meets the eye because of him that loved us. Help us to realize that we can be judged and we can die like men, or we can live like those that have eternity in our hearts to rule and reign with you with new bodies forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Even so, amen. I'll now open the class for discussion. And I'm kind of glad that you all did say, well, no, don't finish it. I take my time. I just didn't want to do Psalms 82 a whole lot of time, but I liked your wisdom, Gary.